This is the Annie Fry Show.
I am concerned. I'm very concerned. Listen, here's my takeaway. January 20th, can't get here fast enough. I mean, what Biden is doing is totally reckless, Laura. It is absolutely reckless. And let's not forget, this is a guy who the Democrats decided couldn't be trusted, didn't have the capability to run a presidential campaign. And now here he is, potentially leading us down the path to World War III with just weeks to go in his presidency. It is unbelievably reckless and irresponsible. And I just can't wait until Trump gets back into office. We've got to make it from now to then. And this policy is a disaster.
Well, that's Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, and kind of setting a frightful tone there. And I'm curious if it is as dire as the senator there explains. It is 1,000 days into this war, the Russia-Ukraine war. Ukraine fires its first barrage of U.S.-made long-range missiles into Russia. And my understanding is Joe Biden gave them permission to do that, or however that works. What is the status of this conflict right now, and what does it mean for the United States as we are in a transition of administrations? Well, let's ask the expert at that. Jim Carafano with us, a senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, it's great to have you on today. Tell us about this moment in time and, you know, to the senator's words there. How scary is this moment for you?
Not really. I'm in Moldova, which is I'm about as close as you can get to the war in Ukraine without being in Ukraine. Look, I think the reality is both Putin and Zelensky expect Trump to come to office and say playtime is over, this needs to stop now. And I think what they're both trying to do is be in as strong a position as possible for that moment. That's why the Russians have stepped up their attacks. It's why the Ukrainians wanted to attack them to push back on Russians. I think, and Donald Trump wants Ukraine to
I'm going to put Jim here on hold here real quick. Drew, maybe you can check with him and check his connection. Let us know when it's better. I can read to you from the Fox News report on these missiles that were fired. And Brad, will you let me know when we've got it reconnected? Fox News says Moscow says Ukrainian forces have taken advantage of President Biden's green light and launched six U.S.-made ATACMS, Army Tactical Missile Systems, into Russian territory Tuesday. Russia says it shot down five of the missiles and damaged the sixth. It added the debris landed in the area of a Russian military facility, but that no casualties or damage beyond a small fire. A U.S. official confirmed the overnight strike to Fox News. The attack came just 2 days after President Biden approved Ukraine to use American long-range missiles on Russian soil, an escalation that Russian President Putin previously indicated would be an act of war. So this is the news that came out. And, you know, when you look at, I think it was Jesse Kelly, I'm going to read this tweet as we were working to reconnect here with Jim Carafano. Jesse Kelly tweeted out, "For all the politicians trying to start World War III, my sons will not go fight in this war. And if you draft them and something happens to them, something will happen to you. Trust me on that." When I listen to these different types of reactions to what's going on, and as a novice, I'm not in a position to understand the details, it feels to me like a lot of posturing by Zelensky, by Putin, when we hear the results of Vladimir Putin saying that they're going to, rework the nuclear agreement, that they're going to change how they look at these different particular situations. It's nerve-wracking to see how this materializes, especially in this time of conflict. And we definitely want to make sure that we understand exactly what we're doing in a moment where it seems like you make a wrong turn and then everything proverbially blows up. Let's see if we got Jim back here. Jim, I'm sorry about that. Are you there? Can you hear us okay?
I'm still in Moldova.
Yeah.
Still here.
Still in Moldova. Well, that's good to hear. You can pick up where you left off. I was just kind of wondering about the tenor of this situation right now and in the moment in the transition between a Biden administration and then in January, a Trump administration. People are throwing the World War III word around. And for us, it's like we don't know what's really going on here.
No, I think both Putin and Zelensky expect Trump to come into office and put his foot down and say this has to end. And that if it doesn't end, the United States is going to throw its weight behind this. And I think what Putin and Zelensky are both doing are trying to be in the strongest position as possible for when Trump comes in. So I don't think we're leading into World War III, quite honestly.
Well, that's very refreshing to hear. It's good to know that that's your take on it. Donald Trump has said that he would have a conversation with Putin and he would work to end this conflict or war as quickly as he possibly can. What kind of leverage does Donald Trump have coming into this conflict? The new guy, but also the old guy back in town. How does he pull something like that off?
He killed Soleimani when the world said, you can't do this. He ordered the carpet bombing of hundreds of Russian mercenaries in Syria when the world said, oh, my God, you know, you can't do that. It'll spark World War III. He launched cruise missiles in Syria against Assad in front of the Chinese prime minister. When you say peace through strength, it means peace through strength, that if you want to mess with me, that you're going to have to live with the consequences of that. So unlike Joe Biden, who has been completely risk-averse this entire thing and essentially was allowing Ukraine to die by slow death, Trump's going to come in and say the fighting has to stop. And you cannot do a deal with Putin unless there are... He won't do a deal. So my expectation is Trump will come in, he'll put a deal on the table, and he'll tell Putin, if you don't do this, there are consequences. And Putin may or not do a deal. But the reality is he will have to live with the consequences that Donald Trump puts out there. So I actually believe that both Russia and Ukraine expect the fighting to stop in 2025. Now, they might want to attack each other down the range or something else. But they think Trump's going to come in and demand a halt to this. And you know, only Vladimir Putin can end this war, but I think he'll have to weigh the risk really heavily. And I think what we're seeing now, the Russians threatening a nuclear war, escalation, all this other stuff, is literally Putin posturing to try to be in a strong position as possible for the negotiation that he knows is coming, and he knows it's going to be difficult with Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is a lot of things, but he is not stupid. You know, people say Trump likes to do deals, and he does. Trump does not like to do bad deals.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to get your reaction to the juxtaposition of Donald Trump coming in and you're talking about his prior methodology and what would be coming back in when he takes the oath of office in January, his peace through strength mentality. There's a lot of fodder here stateside being made over President Biden's foreign trip right now and what it means. I don't know how much it means on his way out. A lot of talk about his awkward photo positioning in the back corner with President Xi standing in the front middle for this photo op. Does that mean it? Do those things mean anything to you, Jim Carafano?
Nobody takes Joe Biden seriously or thinks he's relevant in any way or whatsoever. Whatever goes going on now in the international scene is people posturing on how they're going to deal with Donald Trump. And I got to say, like, you know, it sounds like I disagree with Josh Hawley, and maybe we do on some, but not in the end. And I think all American conservatives are in the same place on this. We want this war to end. We want Ukrainians to stop dying, and we want the United States to stop spending billions of dollars without a plan that delivers, you know, a clear outcome for the United States that's in our benefit. And I think the reason why we might disagree on some things on this, but we all voted for Donald Trump, not that I'm telling you who I voted for, was because in the end, we think this guy is going to deliver for all of us.
Yeah. I want to shift gears before we got just a few minutes left with you, but the immigration situation and the appointment of Homan to be the border czar. I want to play this clip for you and get your reaction to Donald Trump's pick with Tom Homan here. Listen to
this. We got three rails of business, Lawrence. First of all, we got to secure the border. We know how to do that. We've done it before. Second of all, we need to run this deportation operations. The president's been clear. We're going to, out of the gate, we're going to focus on public safety threats and national security threats first. And fugitives, those who crossed the border illegally, had great due process, had great taxpayer expense, were ordered removed by an immigration judge and didn't leave. They're also a priority. And third rail, we got to find over 300,000 children that were released into this country to so-called sponsors that the government can't find. We also got to find them children and try to save them.
Jim Carafano, is Tom Homan the right man for this job?
You know, I've known Tom Homan, it feels like forever. I love that man like my own father. I mean, he reminds me of my dad. My dad was a cop. Tom's got bleeds blue. He tells a story about the formative moment in his life, which is discovering a truck that was even smuggling, used for human smuggling. And they packed the people in the back, and they all died. And he had to open that truck and drag the bodies out. He said that was the moment in his life when he recognized that that illegal migration is the greatest sin on the planet Earth, and he committed his life to stopping that. Tom's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. All those things he said, Tom Homan will do them. He will do them as to 24 hours a day. So anybody who thinks that this is politics or something else, they don't know this guy. This is like putting, you know, when George Marshall says we're going to fight and win World War II, Tom Homan is the George Marshall of border security. He will deliver on this relentlessly.
Is he going to have the authority and everything that he needs on day one of this administration to get the job done?
Yes.
Yes. Good.
He is in Trump's brain on this issue.
That's wonderful to hear. Jim, we're going to let you go. Thank you for visiting us from Moldova. You are a world traveler, and we always thank you for stopping in St. Louis, Missouri on Tuesdays. We always appreciate your voice.
See you, my friend.
Take care. Bye-bye. It is great to talk to Jim Carafano about that. Tom Homan been on the Andy Frey Show many times. He used to come on the show a lot in the previous administration. What was he, acting Homeland Security Secretary or something like that? Oh, we had such a great relationship with the first Trump administration. Biden wins and that door slams shut so fast. It's like, don't even try. So hopefully we'll be able to get some access to some high level people in the Trump administration. Once again, they're pretty tight lipped right now. And I don't blame them for that, though. Like when we're asking for people to come on, sometimes people come on. And I'm like, oh, I don't think you should be doing that. But we'd love to have you.
Well, the beautiful thing about the people he's picking now, not all of them, but let's just say 75% of the names that we've heard that will be in charge of this agency or that agency are people who are good with the media. So I'm sure part of saying, hey, everybody lock down for a little bit, is the fact that all these people actually could be doing that and will do that once the administration starts to roll.
You know, the Matt Gaetz question is the big question mark in all of these appointments. And I've heard so many different philosophies on this. I've heard people tell me things like, you got to throw some crazy ones in there because it makes the ones that, you know, it's always a spectrum. You take the entire lot of people that have been appointed and you determine what is the most crazy one there. And then that person doesn't get confirmed. And wherever the crazy mark is on that spectrum, you get the people that are on the not. But it's subjective.
It's a negotiation tactic.
That's a suggestion that has been made. I don't believe that it's not possible that Matt Gaetz becomes the attorney general. And if Matt Gaetz becomes the attorney general, this is going to be a wild, wild ride.
Oh, my gosh. The nice thing about this, you have 53 Republican senators. You're going to have 47 no votes across the board. So who cares?
But you I don't know. I don't know.
On all of them?
Have you seen all the on all of them? I don't think that you're going to. I don't think that there are. I think Fetterman's going to vote for some of these people.
Yeah, I could see.
I think you're going to get Democrats.
I could see Rubio getting some. Because he knows them.
Yes.
You know?
But I feel like if you look at the list of people who voted on the Republican side to approve Merrick Garland, that's the big question that is out there right now, circling X, about who's going to vote against Matt Gaetz but voted for Merrick Garland.
Ooh,
for AG. Because if you don't want that on your record.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If Gaetz gets to the confirmation hearing process, he, in my opinion, is much more likely to get it confirmed. I think if the people who don't want him in there, they will either succeed and keep him from getting the confirmation hearings. Those confirmation hearings are going to be entertaining to watch.
I joined this station right in the middle of the Brett Kavanaugh hearings.
Oh, man, we were wall-to-wall, too.
Oh, my gosh. That was like, I can't believe, that was political nerd 101, like, this is the best.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's stupid. You're watching people make complete you-know-whats of themselves. and it's like doofuses. All live doofuses.
Doofuses.
Yeah, just like you say sugar. No sugar, Sherlock.
Yeah.
just
you just
like
gotta
that.
Make sure you say it like that. I got euphemisms for everything.
Right. Bologna sausage.
Congressman Boss is going to be with us when we come back. I'm looking forward to having a conversation with him about, does the House feel like they have a mandate? It's a very small majority, but a majority nonetheless, and the House is compromised in a way that you just need one more vote than the other guys. That's the benefit of what is actual democracy in the House. And then, of course, the Senate comes in and reminds you why we are a republic. So what does Congressman Boss think about the direction of the next iteration of Congress when they've got a Senate that they can send bills to that will actually get passed in the Senate and then go to the president's desk and be signed? Guys, it's an amazing thing. And we're about to be able to see exactly how much work the Republicans can get done from the jump. Mike Boss will tell us about that when we come back.
When I collapse into your arms, I'm just a stranger in the dark.